like you, I was thinking, hey, to be cut off at the knees right in midstream with a legal challenge seemed unusual, but parliamentary interference is not something unexpected, I guess, with this mob. You argue the decision interferes with your existing court case. Fair enough. Why do you believe the government's actions actually cross a constitutional line, Mike?
Well, it's you know, it comes down to the rule of law, and also comes down to things like transparency, whether or not the process was fair, whether or not there was what they call an improper purpose, and that strikes your question, which is whether the decision was partly aimed at affecting the outcome of an active court case. You know, and most New Zealanders are fair-minded people. You know, they believe that that's why we have the courts there. When there are conflicts or disputes, you have a neutral ref on the field of play, and there's some rules that everybody understands and we can go by, and that we're going to play the game according to the rules and have an independent arbiter or referee, if you like. In this case, you know, the judges. And then in this case, you know, it's a really serious and important case. We can see what's happening around the rest of the world as the heat wave rolls through Europe. 1,000 people have been killed, I think, in this last week. Unprecedented records are breaking all over Europe, Germany and France, and up into the early 40 degrees temperature rise as an example of climate change that's happening. So it's a really serious issue that we're arguing. We're doing it not to make money. It's not a sort of fundraising type of thing. Sometimes when companies are sued, compensation is sought. We're not doing that. We're doing it in the public good because we're facing a catastrophe of epic proportions. And unfortunately, this government doesn't want to address those issues in a way that's going to guarantee our safety going forward. So we decided to go to court to get the independent referee to sort that out for us and push the government along a bit further to doing something positive. And that's when it stopped. That's when the companies who are causing the pollution intervened. They had a cozy little meeting with the government. They basically wrote the amendment for them. If you look at the text, both the letter that was handed over to the government and the text that they're thinking about introducing into law, it's the same. And we just don't believe that that's the way our country should be run. You know, we don't elect companies to govern our country. We elect the government, and we expect that they stay in their lane, that they do so fairly, they do so responsibly, and they don't, you know, they're not swayed by the efforts of their sponsors, because, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of money that changes hands between these companies and government in times of election. But we think that all that's got to be put aside and the decisions have to be made fairly. And that's why it's important that it goes to court, Dale.
I understand completely your frustration, but also recognise the stoic nature that not you, just you carry, but your legal team. A bit of a battle of wits here between the Minister of Justice, Goldsmith, and who really came in to drive the wedge in here, and your legal eagles. There's that issue, but this issue of corporate lobbying influencing the decision. And now, remember when the Prime Minister says, "Oh, I'm not quite sure about that," and then it surfaced. Do we have some concrete proof that these documents exist? What evidence does your team have, and why does the lack of transparency matter, do you think, Mike?
Yeah, so we do. We have the text of the documents that were exchanged, and ironically, they were provided to us by the defendants themselves as part of the discovery. So when you go to court, make allegations, you've got to each side has to put on the table what evidence that's going to be put forward in the trial, so that nobody's ambushed. There's no surprises. So that both sides have a fair opportunity to organise a defence against what's being said about them. And as part of that, and that's called discovery, and so as part of that, whilst the companies have put this information in front of us. So we came back to the government and asked them about it, and then they just started, they just developed amnesia all of a sudden. Well, no. First of all, it was no, it didn't happen. Then it was, oh, well, it possibly happened, but there's no record of that. And so if there's no record of it, well, it doesn't happen, hasn't happened. And as the saga progressed, the scandal just got bigger and bigger because we did have the evidence. We could produce the documents and say, well, you say it didn't happen, but here's the documents. And so in the end, I guess they pushed it off on one of the officials who had left some time before and blamed it on him, and attempted to carry on. But it's not good enough. It's, you know, these are serious matters. We shouldn't be, you know, I mean, you're not allowed to lie in Parliament, right? That's a sackable offence. I can't see why you should be allowed to lie in you know, in the public courts as well. You know, what's the, it really does undermine people's confidence in the government, like in terms of, well, what are they trying to hide? Yeah. What else is there that they're doing that they're not making transparent to the people?
Yeah, Tenakwe, Mike. Look, your history of cultural and environmental activism, do you think that it's had any influence on the approach that they've taken here? And while we've been speaking about the emissions of major polluters in the country, we haven't touched in as strongly as we might on the cultural aspects here. The denigration of the treaty, our rights there to a clean environment, have been transgressed quite obviously here. So I'm wondering if you think you've been singled out in a way, Mike, and the cultural card within that legal framework, is that an issue here, or is it pure and simple that your human rights have been transgressed by these emitters, not able to breathe the clean air, not able to utilise the waterways and whenua in the ways that we all should? How does culture play here in this legal matter?
Well, that's a good question, Dale, and I'll tell you an anecdote. I was at a climate event some years ago. It was an international thing, and there's lots of people there from around the world, and they posed a question to us. They said, well, what's the traditional Indigenous response to these types of issues back in Aotearoa, Mike? So I said, well, you know, if we're faced with somebody coming into our territories who's threatening the lives of our families and threatening the lives of our children, our traditional response, at least it is up north, is to kill them on the spot. And they kind of recoiled in horror. And I said, well, that is, you know, that's, if you're talking about tradition, that's the tradition. And it is, as it is around the world. I also went on to explain that we stopped doing that 150 years ago, notwithstanding the fact that it's happening in the Middle East and Central Europe as we speak. But so that's a very, I guess, extreme version of Te Kaha. But down from that, what we argue in the courts is that we have a deep and abiding responsibility to take care of the Tai O around us. As you say, the atmosphere and everything between space and earth, where life exists, you know, we have a responsibility that we take very seriously to look after that and to ensure that it's left for future generations. And that's not just us as Māori, but most all Indigenous peoples around the world think like that, as do indeed everybody else and most people around the world. Everybody except, it seems, these big corporates who are just completely committed to profit, and big politicians who seem to be committed to economies and, you know, kowtowing to these industrial and economic sectors, like the agricultural sector, like fossil fuels. And we've just got to reprioritize, you know, what's important in our world. And so Te Kaha is our guide to doing that.
Tēnā koe. Just finally, Mike, I note that the case has already been reinstated by the Supreme Court, encouraging. Do you have any timeframes now? I mean, the case wasn't due to hit court until, I think, next year anyway. Now that this challenge has been made politically and you've counteracted with another legal challenge, where does it sit? When might this case be heard?
Well, we think that sometime this week the government's going to introduce the amendment to kill this court case. And so that's why we've preempted that by filing for a judicial review, as we want these matters to go back to the court. to say, well, if they are going to do that, that it's been done properly, that they've obeyed the rules, because they certainly don't be giving the appearance of doing that up until now. So we're just going to double check. And but until then, the court, the case progresses on. It just remains to be seen whether or not they'll do it this week or do it at all. I'm very heartened by the fact that the Conservation Estate bill has been somewhat modified. I'm really pleased to hear that Shane Jones's attempts to further deregulate the fishing industry and give them permission to, to rip shit and bust type of attitude some of them seem to have. That's been pushed back. Shane Jones's bill's been pushed back. Tama Pōtaka's bill's shaky at the moment. So what that tells us is that we're not just reliant upon the government to do the right thing. If they, we as the public, the court of public opinion, we can push back against things that are clearly wrong. And in these types of instances, we should and we must, and I feel that it's our responsibility to do that. And so it's not enough just to sort of sit back and watch these things like a game of tennis go backwards and forwards. Really, if if people care, and I'm sure that we all do, we've got to get actively involved in these processes. And so that could be things like, demonstrating through petitions, through just making our opposition visible. Social
Tinaku.
media is a great tool for this.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, Mike. Obviously, it's an issue at the heart of how we think as a people. So I'm suggesting there's tremendous support for the stance that you're advocating, and a lot of interest in how this one progresses. We'll stay in touch and make sure that our peeps are aware of the various moves in this very intriguing case. Mike Smith with us this morning. Thanks, Mike, for your time.
Thank you, Dale. Have
Always
a good
a
day.
pleasure. Thank you, mate. 603 Wātea and wateanews.com.